Now we've reached the fourth part, which is, as always, the gospel. And this is Matthew 28:16 down to the end of the gospel, which is 20. So it's 16 to 20. And you say, that's all we're going to read on the Feast of the Ascension? I mean, you expect trombones and drums and, you know. Well, we're like that, you know. Well, it's more profound than that. And that's what we're going to be looking at. Okay? So, it starts off, the 11 disciples. Sad note, right? What happened to the other guy? You see? The 11 disciples, you see, went up to Galilee. Because Jesus told them, I'll see you in Galilee, remember? So they go back up there. That's John 21, the same. To the mountain which he had ordered them to go to. Now, is that the same mountain as the Mount of the Beatitudes? That was up in Galilee too, right? When you get to heaven, ask them. I mean, I've got tons of questions for these guys, you know? Was that the same Oros, the same one? I think so. You know? But because it says the mountain in our text, you see, going east to To Oros, the mountain, which Jesus had ordered them to. So, okay. And seeing him, they worshipped. And now, does it say, but they doubted, or but some doubted? Hard to know. Here they are, looking at the risen Jesus and saying, I wonder if that's really him. You know, I wonder what's happened. Is he really risen from the dead? You know, they're doubting. Why does Matthew make sure we get that? Because he says, there's going to be thousands of years of people striving to live by faith, and they're going to stumble once in a while, and they got to know that's okay. Just keep believing, and you'll be all right. I remember this friend of mine, a lovely man, a Palestinian Christian, who was very sick. His name was Camille Shahadi. I went over there, I was visiting him over in Haifa. And I said, Camille, kif halak? How's it going? He said, Abuna, Father, Abuna, I keep praying, not that I get healed, or not that I don't get healed, but that I don't get tired believing. Now there's a mystic, huh? He sees the score. And so they doubt it, okay? Some doubted. This translation has, what does it have here? But they doubted. It's possible translation. Anyway, you get the idea. And then Jesus, coming forward, spoke to them. Now, you would expect, what would you expect him to say after that? You clowns, you're doubting. I'm standing here. Look at my wounds. I mean, you're fired. I'm going to go find some other apostles, you know. You're fired. Thank God he never says that, right? If we want to be his disciples, we will never be fired. If we sin and repent, we're right back in. The biggest clown in the whole Passion narrative is Peter, and Jesus makes him the Pope. See, that's the power of mercy. How much John Paul II loved that. And that's why he had Mercy Sunday. He got Faustina's writings made available. You see, mercy. So Jesus sort of just, who can read their hearts, you see, skips all that. I just think that's touching. Whether it's 6 of the 11 or 11 of the 11, I don't know. From the text, you can't tell. He says, there is given to me every authority, every power, exousia, in heaven and on earth. Now you see the real Jesus, right? All the power in the universe is mine. You got it? It doesn't belong to the theoreticians of evolution. It doesn't belong to the clowns who are trying to ruin the church. It's mine. And I can do what I want with it. So, it's nice that we hear that after we see his mercy, right? Otherwise, we could be in trouble. Or worse, we could be scared. And he's saying, I don't want you scared. I want you trusting. And then transform. There's not a sin you've ever done that I cannot wash in my blood and forget. Not one. And this is, I think, a little bit of a, you know, they doubt it, or some doubt, whatever. What does he say? Just why did you doubt? No, he starts right away, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. I am the source of all power. Therefore, go out. And going out, mathitevsete, do you hear Matthew in there? This, make disciples. Mathitis is the Greek word for disciple. You see, panta ta ethni, all the nations. How do they translate that? They must say that, yeah. Make disciples of all the nations. Here are these 11 guys standing on a mountain in Galilee. And he's telling them, go change the whole world. What would you do? You'd say, well, you know, I'm grateful for the honor, but I don't really feel qualified. Jesus, thank you very much. No, you lay hold of it. See? Go out, you see, and make disciples, panta ta ethni, of all the nations. I did tell you what that says. Of all nations, right? So how do you do that? Baptizing them. Well, first they got to know what baptism is, what the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is. But the completion of that preaching is baptism. Now you say, I mean, it's kind of like a technicality, no? No. It is the direct work of Jesus Christ in that person now through the water and the Word. Baptizing. You see, we're not awestruck anymore about the sacraments because we're so engrossed in matter that we don't see them as having any special reality to them. Oh, the Eucharist, perhaps, but anointing of the sick, baptism, confirmation. You see, these are all direct acts of Jesus Christ in his body and through his body. Baptizing them in the name, one name, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They all have one name. The expression. Name biblically means the expression of the reality. So you are expressing the reality of God over this person and plunging them into the body of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? You know, like the fathers of the church said, well, now, remember when Peter visited Cornelius and he was preaching and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit fell and they started praising God, prophesying, praying in tongues. So Peter says, what's to hold us up from baptizing them? Nothing. The fathers say, well, why do you baptize them? They're already praying in tongues. And because they have to be joined to the body. Paul himself met Jesus on the way, talked to him, was changed by him, struck blind by him, but he had to be baptized. Remember? And so, if we knew, there's a beautiful icon. It's the icon of Pentecost. This is Ascension, but I can cheat a little bit. There are these disciples all around like this. At the top of the whole table or group, there's a woman. That's Mary/church, because Mary is the church and the church is Mary. Everybody knows that. Well, we don't. But you can read it all over the place in the Fathers of the Church. There's a book by Hugh Rahner called Mary and the Church. Tiny little thing. If you don't have it, get it. And by the time you finish it, you'll be convinced that Mary is the church and the church is Mary, without meaning that they're blended, okay? Okay. Anyway, she's at the top, Mary the church, and they're all around. And at the bottom, under them all, there's an old man. Sometimes he's crowned, beautiful vestments. Sometimes he's just an old man. Who is that? That's old man Cosmos. And he's receiving the Holy Spirit along with all the apostles. That's why baptism transmits divine life. That's why oil transmits the strengthening of that divine life. Old man Cosmos, bread, wine, water, hands, voice, they're all mediating divine life now. St. Thomas even says, when you speak, you are sharing in the divine word himself. And we're so dumb. You know, we have no reverence. Augustine has this phrase, accetit verbum ad elementum, et fit sacramentum. You know Augustine, how he can do this. The word comes to the element, and a sacrament happens. Accetit verbum ad elementum. What's the word that comes? It's the word of the gospel. Summed up, I baptize you in the name of the Father. This is my body. This is my blood. You see, receive the Holy Spirit. Whatever the word of the gospel is, comes with the elementum et fit sacramentum. Mystery. If the Lord would open us up just once at a baptism to what's going on, we'd all fall down in worship. Isn't that a cute little dress she's got on? Never mind the cute little dress. That little child has just been taken over by the Holy Trinity. Now, you got to protect that treasure. The priest says, you're going to bring her up to be a good Christian. You godparents, you're going to help them. Everybody here, you're going to help them. You've got a treasure in your hand now. You have somebody surely indwelt by the Trinity. She can't sin yet, so there's no question. Leoncius, Origen's father, when Origen was that big, used to pick him up and kiss his chest and say, at least we know the Holy Spirit is here. Isn't that beautiful? See, that's realistic faith. Okay, we've got to go on here. You see? So you baptize them and then teach them. This is the whole point of a Sunday sermon. Teach them to keep everything I have commanded you. This woman, Anne, over in Ireland, wonderful, holy woman. And sometimes she makes this remark when the priest says to college kids, it's all right if you have sex, you know. She says, you see, the priest is saying, I'm really nicer than Jesus. Well, he's going to hear about that one day. He's not nicer than Jesus. You see what I mean? And so, teach them everything I have commanded you. Don't skip anything. This is the way to eternal life. Help them. Don't just lay burdens and then stand by and watch. I remember a fellow, theologian, good man, but he was saying to me, you're kind of free in his ways. Francis, you know, we got to stop putting all these burdens on people. And I said, you're right. But the way we take the burdens away is to teach them about the power of the cross, to lift those burdens, carry those burdens, be proud of those burdens. It isn't to take it away. Yeah, it's not a sin. That's not helping anybody. And believe me, you're going to hear from them. When you die, why did you tell those kids that? That's not what I told you to tell them. You see what I'm trying to say? You see, baptizing them, teaching them to keep everything I've commanded you, and then comes the clincher. How are you going to do all that? Behold, I am with you all the days until the end of the age. I'm right here. I didn't tell you to do all this. I'm going to take an elevator to heaven, and here you are. Good luck. No. The ascension is the change of the mode of presence of Christ. He's more present now that he's going to heaven. Amen.